Did you know you can save money with the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, I was surprised too. Deals every day right at your fingertips. I love a good deal, but the McDonald's app takes gaming the system to a whole new level. Just the other day, I treated myself to a 10-piece chicken nugget for only a dollar. Yeah, you heard that right. Just $1. All you have to do is order in the app. And get this. You can grab that deal once a week through December 2nd. The first time I discovered the deals in the app, I was honestly shook. I had to tell my whole group chat about it, and now we're always comparing who got the best app deal of the week. Plus, ordering ahead, total game changer, especially when I need a quick lunch or a treat after a long day. So why wait? Save money every day with the McDonald's app. Download it, get those deals, and treat yourself. You deserve it. Valid through December 2nd, 2024 at participating McDonald's. Offer valid one time per week. Excludes delivery. You must opt into rewards. So go check out McDonald's deals.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? Coming to you live from Tampa Bay in the Airbnb, getting this recording done, which I'm super excited about because, man, I'll say this. We got into Tampa Bay late Thursday night. The energy has been awesome. 49ers fans everywhere. We've done so many of these road games, which is a beautiful thing. But whenever you come to the South, especially Southeast, you know, we felt this way in the Atlanta game. We felt this way in Miami. We felt this way in Jacksonville, Charlotte. There's just so many concentrated 49ers fans in this area that might get to go to one game a year because of the location of, you know, we play all on the West Coast. So whenever you come out here, you get a whole lot of people that are just so psyched and so jazzed for this game. It's been really infectious, and so I'm absolutely excited about this week. Now, the Bucs, you know, again, here's what we're doing this episode. We're going over scouting report, tendencies, schemes, matchups, bets, predictions, I mean, you name it. This is our flagship program. I look forward to it every single week. Shout out to my man, Josh. The pages of notes, which is huge. Uh-oh, is the Wi-Fi already spotty? There we go. So as we talk through this, the Bucs are a good team. They're going through a lot of injuries, no doubt about it, and it catches up to every single team at some point in the year. Now, the 49ers seem to have already gone through that, and with the bye week, they're coming out the other side. The Bucs still have not. They are struggling big time, including Baker Mayfield. Their bye week is next week after this 49ers game. And so the coaches are going to have a lot of decisions to make where it's, man, do we push somebody before they're ready to come back? Or do we kind of sit back and kind of chill, let them rest this week, let them rest in the bye week and come back having the rest of the year? It's one of the biggest kind of issues with what's going on with the Bucs because they're in a lot of turmoil. They've lost three games in a row. They're 4-5. They were one of the hottest teams in the NFL to start, beating Detroit. You know, they were 2-0 to start. They beat Washington and Detroit, who are like the number 1 and 2 seed in the NFC currently. They beat them both to start the season, and then it just got bad. Three consecutive losses. Hopefully that becomes four. And to kind of add to this for the Bucs, man, they played 84 defensive snaps on Monday Night Football, which is ridiculous. Anytime you go to overtime, you're going to play a lot. And it mounts up for the defense way more than it does the offense. And it's a short week because not only did the 49ers not play Sunday, it was their bye week. So the 49ers get an 8 days rest advantage. It's just huge. Now, you do have to bring into the fact that the 49ers are flying all the way across. That was a long freaking flight. And here's Kyle Shanahan, who talked a little bit about the long flights and the road games and some of the kind of benefits to that. But here's Shanahan talking about traveling all the way across the country.
And we deal with crowd noise more here and stuff. So you get used to the silent cadence, but usually you get used to that in half a day. Sometimes we like having a little more sleep on the airplanes, which is nice. At least coaches, you get a little more rested, but I always like being at home. Always like being in our stadium. Always like Fridays being around our families and stuff. But sometimes it's nice to hunker down a little bit and be about, you know, a group of 53 guys or whatever it is, going against a whole stadium and doing that a few weeks in a row can get fun. And as long as you handle the games the right way.
Yeah, and so, you know, it can go bad, but whenever the 49ers start hot early, which is with Shanahan's staple, when the 49ers can remove the crowd from the game, it makes these road games so much more doable. And then, you know, Vivid Seats, they put out the metric where the tickets are being bought, 59% expected ticket sales for 49ers fans. So obviously, you know, they have the announcers, they have the radio, they got the ship, they got all that stuff and the cannons. But the majority of fans, they're going to be 49ers fans. And so if you can remove the crowd, I mean, I can think of three or four times where we're chanting defensive chants on the road. We're doing CMC chants. We're doing Brock Purdy chants. Let's go Niners in the stands on away stadiums, away fields. And that's, man, you see the players on the sideline will turn around and be like, whoa, this is cool. There's a few fan bases that can do that. The Tampa Bay Bucks are not one of those. And so to go in and to take over kind of their stadium, that should be the mindset. Get the crowd out of the game early, and then you just play football. How do you get the crowd out of the game early? You score early. Well, one of the bets that is a Shanahan staple and will continue to fund my kid's college trajectory if he goes is Shanahan scoring on opening drive and leading in the first quarter. I will always bet those things just because that's kind of who he is. That's who he is. Mike, my man, he says, John, not going to make it to the Saturday event. That's okay. Whereabouts are your seats? I think I'm sitting with the Houston chapter, which I'm so pumped about. I think it's 244 row Y off the top of my head, but it's on my phone, which I can't look up because that's what's recording. I'm right two section. It's 224 or 244, but text me, DM me. We'll meet up for a beer or something if we can, if I'm not tweeted or whatever else. But if you are coming out, this is huge. I just got back from the venues, just getting everything set up, prepped for tomorrow. Frank Gore tomorrow at the Brick House Tavern, Saturday, November 9th, 2 to 8 p.m. Get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. I mean, this place is incredible, and we're adding so much to it. We've got tents set outside so that just in case if it does overflow, we want to make sure everybody is accommodated. Everybody that wants to meet Frank Gore that has purchased a ticket, you will get that opportunity. You got to go get those 49ersrushroadtrip.com. But I'm going to have to cut them off at some point. So if you're thinking about going, do not hesitate. Go get your tickets right now, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. And then our tailgate, I got to be honest with you. I'm so excited. We've oversold. So we had to change locations. It's literally 100 yards away. We're just crossing the intersection. So you don't have to change the map. You still go to the same place, 3407 West Hyder Street. We're just closer to the stadium. I wanted to make sure we had enough room to accommodate everybody. It's probably going to be our biggest tailgate we've ever thrown, which I'm excited about. All you can eat drinks, you know, you name it. It's going to be a blast. Going to give away so much stuff right next to the stadium. It's going to be incredible. So come out with us, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. You guys are the absolute best. James, is Christian McCaffrey back and playing on Sunday? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. CMC is back. That changes everything. And, you know, I was going to wait till later to kind of prove my point because I went through and did this write-up assuming Christian McCaffrey was going to play. And I wrote this part before Brock Purdy talked. But listen to Brock Purdy talk about the importance of CMC coming back.
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. Just what he brings to the table and really just firing everybody else up around, you know,
all of us coming off the bye week and feeling good and fresh, and then you get 2-3 next to you in the backfield. It's been awesome. Looks great, moving around, and he's trending in the right direction. So we're excited to see what happens. Yeah, I mean, I think it's always nice knowing, you know, you have Christian, obviously, for checkdowns and stuff as a running back, and then they have to account for him for sure and can open up other guys in the pass game. But more than anything, we have really good playmakers across the board, and we're going to try to get the ball in all our guys' hands at the right, you know, time in the right situation. So it's always nice, though, knowing that I can go through my read and come back down to Christian. But at the same time, they blitz and stuff, so we're going to have him in pass protection and our other running backs stepping up and doing their job as well. So, but that's the name of the game, man. They're going to pressure and try to get you off guard and off schedule, and we just got to be on top of our assignments.
Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff, and there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
And, you know, I'll say this, you know, the Bucs are interesting, and here, I'm going to save it. I'm difficult at this. I always like to jump forward too much. Let's stick to the script that the good man, Josh, you see him here, 49ers faithful forever, has laid out. I mean, he works so hard on these. You look at the Bucs, and yeah, it's going to be a shootout game. And the Bucs are the fourth highest scoring team. They're the 29th defensive scoring team. That's just how the Bucs design their entire roster. They want to score a lot of points, and they gamble nonstop on defense. And it's okay if they miss on these gambles because they think they're going to make up for an offense. So if they get one or two of these gambles right, they think they can outscore you. Well, that philosophy worked whenever you had Mike Evans, whenever you had Chris Godwin, whenever Sterling Shepard, your number three guy, they're all out. Sterling Shepard might play, but that's kind of the issue there. So they want this to be a shootout. And the Bucs are a good team, plus 16-point differential on the year. Again, beat Washington to start, beat Detroit at Detroit, started 2-0. Then they got blown out by Denver. Then they beat the Eagles. Then they lose to Atlanta. Then they destroy the Saints, lose to Baltimore. No shame in that. Then they lose to Atlanta again. Then they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime. Three consecutive losses. So that's kind of who they are. Now, the problem is, and again, I want to go back to Shanahan here, is the 49ers are coming off with reinforcements after a bye, ready to go, and that changes everything. Here's Shanahan talking about how come he's been so successful since he's been a head coach after the bye.
You'd like to think you get better the more you practice and the farther you go. You also like to think other teams do that too. So I always like to feel we're going to be better I like to feel we're better the following week always. But our first year we started 0-9 and finished 6-10. So I think that helps a little bit. But all the years after our second year, you know, we've had good teams since we've had good records. And you know, and they've come pretty early too.
So let's look at the PFF rankings, which I do realize we didn't have these included in a show that I did 2 weeks ago because I messed up the script. Josh did his job. And I got like four emails. Hey, man, you never did the PFF rankings. I just skipped over the thing because I went out of order. So my apologies. I forget what game it was. It might have been the Cowboys game. But anyway, I'm going to include them from here on out. Hey, the people have spoken, which is interesting. I didn't know so many people liked the PFF rankings, but that's okay. It just I want to provide as many snapshots or pictures or numbers to paint each team appropriately. And so whether that's an analytics, that's a film, that's a scheme, that's a personnel, that's a whatever, I want to color in as much information as possible. So the Bucs, let's start with the Bucs. Offense, this is according to Pro Football Focus, their entire offensive rankings, 9th. Defense, 25th, not good. They're not a good defense on any metric at all. Special teams, 23rd. They're not even good at special teams. Overall, 16th. That's average. They're a 4-5 team. That's what it is. Now, PFF loves the 49ers because you have so many players that are analytical outliers like Fred Warner, like George Kittle, like Trent Williams, like Evan Anderson, like Jordan Mason, that are just on a snap-by-snap basis grayed out so stinking high. Well, offense, they're 2nd. Defense, they're 6th. That's the one I would disagree with the most. Special teams, 24th. I don't think we're that high. Overall, we're 3rd. We are PFF darlings, have been. Now, if we look at the coaching staff of the Bengals, I like it. I ain't going to lie. Todd Bowles is interesting. I think he's a damn good coach. I think he's a damn good leader and a great man. He's just so boring. His press conferences are boring. He's just boring, but he's a really, really good coach. And it's funny because you look at this guy and you listen to him talk and you're like, God, you are boring. But the way he calls plays, whew. He is not boring at all. He's been a part of 3 Super Bowls. He won one as a player, as an assistant, and as a coach. He was an undrafted free agent safety, but won with Washington, won the Super Bowl as a player, as a starting safety, Super Bowl 22 back in the day. Played for the 49ers. A lot of people don't know this. Todd Bowles played for us in 1991. Didn't play a lot, but he was with us. And, you know, his career, Green Bay – he was on the player professional side of the staff. Then he went to Morehouse, Grambling State, started coaching for the Jets, coached for the Cleveland Browns, coached for the Cowboys, Dolphins, Eagles, Cardinals, Jets again, and then Tampa Bay as the DC until Tom Brady threw his coup to get him, Bruce Arians, thrown out, which that's a whole freaking ESPN 30 for 30. And on top of that, Tom Brady's going to be calling the game this week. So you're not allowed to criticize anything, but he loves – the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he loves this head coach. There's no doubt about it. Tom Brady is a diehard Todd Bowles fan. Now, their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, interesting guy. Victor Cruz's roommate in college. Shout out to Josh for digging that one up. He's in the UMass Athletics Hall of Fame. He played on the Alabama Vipers. Anybody remember that one? As quarterback. And, man, coached at Brown, Rhode Island, back to Brown, UMass, Maine. This dude is a New England all-star. Then he got on as the assistant wide receiver coach for the Rams back in 2018, gets promoted to the quarterbacks coach 2020. Then he goes to college for Kentucky. He was the OC there, back to the Rams as the OC in 2022, back to Kentucky, just back and forth to where now he's the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator. This is his first year there. So that's kind of what runs everything that's going on for the Tampa Bay Bucs. It's Cohen and it's Bowles. I think both are very, very good coaches. I think both adapt to kind of what they have. Now, the injuries. The injuries are bad. Obviously, you know, let's start for the 49ers, okay? And again, whenever we look at this, did not practice. Chris Conley, Kevin Givens, Charvarius Ward. Those guys have not practiced. Limited. Nick Bosa going to play. John Feliciano, I don't think he's going to be activated. Maybe he will be, but maybe not. Ichiro Gross-Matos, I don't think he gets activated. Juwan Jennings, number one wide receiver, is back. Jordan Mason, he was limited with a blue non-contact shirt. If he can't go 100%, I want Isaac Guerrero. I have no clue. This is my 100% honest. I have no clue how the 49ers running backfield rotation is going to work. If Mason is a little banged up at all, I want Guerrero to be number two. That's what. Hopefully she don't get mad at me. Now, Christian McCaffrey, limited, he's playing. Jake Moody, limited, playing. Malik Mustafa, limited, playing. Debo, limited, playing. Mitch Wisnowski, limited, playing. You're getting all these guys back. All of them back. Now, let's go to the flip side. And we look at kind of what that is. Listen to this. This is awful. Jordan Whitehead, their starting safety, has not practiced yet. Sterling Shepard, their new number one wide receiver, has not practiced. Jalen McMillan, their new number two wide receiver, hasn't practiced. Baker Mayfield, he's got to play, hasn't practiced. And so there's just so many of these. You know, obviously, whenever you lose Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, that's huge. But you also lost their backups. Now, I do expect Sterling Shepard and Jalen McMillan to probably play. But again, I had to go a little Ron Burgundy there. It's just a lot of injuries. Invader, has Bowles ever beaten? He's beaten them with – Todd Bowles beat him with on the Rams staff, I believe. Yeah, he was on the Rams 2019 team? No, he wasn't. He was not. So that's a good question. I'm sure he's beaten them at some point. I mean, he was in so many different teams. It's kind of hard to track all of those. But, yeah, Shanahan's had his way with Todd Bowles recently, no doubt about it, and they haven't even been close. I would argue two of Brock Purdy's best games of his entire career were both against Todd Bowles' defense, and they were both against Todd Bowles' defense when Todd Bowles had better defensive personnel than what he has now. This defense is not near as good. Not near as good. So, yeah, right here, Invader. Who's starting at X? Oh, it's Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is a starter. Pearsall will get some reps. Pearsall is going to move all over the place. Now, whenever you go three wide receiver, I would want Pearsall at X and Jennings at the slot. But, you know, around there, that's what I would hope for. But, yeah, they're both going to play X. They're both going to play slot. Figure that out. But in two wide receiver sets, that 1,000% should be Juwan Jennings and Debo Samuel. That's what it should be. Now, sometimes, yeah, you could have Ricky Pearsall out there, but Jennings better out-snap him. If not, I don't want to put like an ultimatum on it, but I think it would be a misuse. Jennings should have been out-snapping Ayuk with the way they were both playing through 3 weeks. I kept screaming that, but, you know, they didn't do that. Jennings, you got to give him his chance. And maybe if he's not 100%, then you – roll out there more Ricky Pearsall, but man, allow Ricky Pearsall to breathe and become what you think he is, because I love Pearsall and I'm excited for him. Very, very excited for what he kind of brings to the team. But at the same time, like, you cannot allow this guy to have too much on him, because if you do, you might ruin everything that he is. What's up, guys? How are we doing? Got the buddies in town. So allow it to become what it is. You've built this team. Juwan Jennings has played like a number one all freaking year, every single game he's been in. Just trust him. Just trust him. Right here, James, with Moody being limited, do you think he gets told to kick and nothing else? Yeah, just wall him to the sideline. You know, it's funny because we used to go grab our kickers just off the soccer team. Like, we would literally just go, hey, guys, we'd go out to soccer practice with footballs and tees. We'd say, hey, everybody light up, and we'd just let them kick. And most of them were good. And we do these kicking competitions like, hey, you two are going to be kickers. And some of them were like, man, I ain't tackling anybody. And their moms or whoever else would be like, no, they're not playing. And we'd like, look, man, come, like, we'll show you. This is how we tackle. This is what we're doing. We're just going to kick, and you can just stand up and kind of push them to the sideline. It's what it is. But this is the NFL. Moody, go out there, learn how to tackle. His ankle got hurt because he didn't bring his feet. So, like, it was just a technique issue. You put on some 1980s, this is how you tackle tape, and Jake Moody doesn't get hurt. Now, this matchup, the 49ers have dominated it. They're up 20-6 all time, which is just off the charts. And again, I talked about how Brock Purdy, his two of his best games of his entire career has been against this Tampa Bay Todd Bowles led defense. Last time they played, Brock Purdy went 21-25, 333 yards, three touchdowns, 158.3 passer rating. That's a perfect passer rating. Baker Mayfield, he struggled with this defense. Now, I know it's been different coordinators, and he's played against us with, you know, lots of different teams. Doesn't matter. He has not been good to this point against the 49ers. He just hasn't. Now, let's look real quick at the Bucs' defensive ranks. It's bad. It's a bad defense. 28th in points allowed out of 32 teams, not good. 30th in yards allowed, not good. 31st in first downs. Teams are able to sustain drives against this team consistently. Only 5 interceptions forced. That's 20th. So they're not even getting turnovers. Rushing yards, 19th. Rushing touchdowns, 15th. Those are kind of their best rankings entirely defensively. Yards per rush, 28th. And again, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. One of my biggest concerns whenever Shanahan goes against a team that is so vulnerable in rush yards, he doesn't run the ball. He doesn't run the ball. So please run the ball. I know Christian McCaffrey, you got to be careful with him, but get Isaac Rando carries. Get Jordan Mason carries. Get Kyle Juszczyk carries. Get ends around to Debo. Get ends around to Pearsall. Get Patrick Taylor Jr. carries. Get, I don't care. Brock Purdy carries. You can run against this defense. You can run against this defense. Please do not abandon the run. Kyle Shanahan, for some reason, I don't know why, every single time he plays against a team that is terrible in yards per rush, he just abandons it. And that's my one where I'm just like, man, we just finished Halloween. It could be a little spooky. Don't go that way, man. Just trust kind of everything that's going on. Please, 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 please. Let's see here. Let's go to – third downs, terrible, 23rd. Fourth downs, 29th. Red zone, 21st. Just not a good defense. Just not a good defense whatsoever. Now, they do have some studs. Anton Winfield's one of my favorite safeties in the NFL. Hasn't been good this year. Really, really hasn't. Vita Vea, unbelievable. Zion McCollum, the cornerback, number one rated corner in the NFL on PFF. Levante David, Hall of Fame linebacker, great. He's not playing. Father Time's starting to catch up to him. You know, y'all heard me talk about Cam Jordan and how I really want the Niners to trade for him. Levante David's kind of in that part. He's still a stud, but now he's closer to kind of that Bobby Wagner. Still good in the run game, still good in coverage, but it's just not the David that we're used to seeing out there. You can take advantage of these guys. Now, they're the most zone-heavy team in the NFL whenever you talk about coverages. 82% zone coverage. That's most in the NFL. And also 39% blitz rate, number one in the NFL. They are the definition of a zone blitz team. I really wish Sorensen would take notes, but that's okay. Cover three, they run 42%. That's third most in the NFL. What's that mean? Seams are open. Seams are open. Quick outs are open. Hitches are open. Screen passes to the outside are open. Cover three, those outside corners, they're responsible for the deep thirds. They have to bail. They have to allow underneath stuff. They are designed for a yards after catch offense to have success against them. That's just what it is. That's what it is. Now, let's flip it. Let's look at the Bucs offense. It's awesome. It's very, very good. Top five unit. Even without my man, Baker Mayfield, who I've hated my whole life, but that's okay. I respect the way he plays, but being OU and then the Browns, I can't stand that. But that dude's balling out even without his studs. And 6 consecutive games, 2 or more touchdown passes. Brock Purdy hasn't had more than 1 game in a row this year with 2 or more touchdown passes. Like, Baker is balling out. Again, Brock Purdy, 10 touchdown passes this year. Baker Mayfield, 23. Like, he is – MVP type numbers, but it's starting to kind of regress and turnovers are there. He's not in the MVP conversation, but he probably should have been. He's not going to win the MVP, but he's playing really good football. Bucks, fifth in points, fifth in yards. They move the ball and they make it count in the red zone. They're second in the red zone. When they get in there, they score. They really, really do. Second and first downs, fifth passing yards. They don't run the ball a lot, but still top 10 rush yards. They're just good offensive football team, and it all starts with Baker. Rashad White, their kind of screen running back, very, very good. Arizona State guy. I'm sure he knows Ayuk. I'm sure he knows, you know, Pearsall, all those guys. Tristan Wirfs might be the best, second best left tackle in the NFL. Really, really good. And, you know, you look at their tendencies. It's quite interesting. They do a lot of play action, and that's when they're at their best. 24% of their plays are play action, and they're great. 14% screens, great screen team. Baker is successful when you blitz him. If you can get pressure with four men, that's where Baker is terrible. But whenever you bring five or more, Baker has a 124 NFL passer rating, very good. 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Well, the good news is the 49ers blitz less than anybody else. Can they get there with four-man pressure? That's going to be the determining factor of this entire game. So, favorite matchups. When the 49ers are on defense, the best matchup for the Bucs, Tristan Wirfs versus Leonard Floyd. That's just not a fair matchup for us. Leonard Floyd back in the day, baby, he has regressed. He's still a good player and still minds his gap. Team player defense, he's just not explosive. He doesn't win one-on-ones ever, hasn't this year. Sure as hell not going to win him against Tristan Wirfs. Our best matchup, the 49ers, when we're on defense, Nick Bosa versus the right tackle, Luke Goedeke. That's huge for us. Blue matchup, best on best, Bosa versus Wirfs, worth the price of admission. When you're watching the broadcast view, look for 9-7. If he is on the offensive left or the defensive right side, watch 97 versus Tristan Wirfs, please. That is freaking Holyfield Frazier. Watch that. That's just best on best. Okay, so you're seeing two of the best humans at their position, athletic freaks, and just talent out the wazoo. Watch that matchup, please. Don't watch the ball. Look for 97. Now, if you see Nick Bosa on the defensive left side, offensive right side, go watch the ball the way you usually do. But my homework assignment: watch Nick Bosa versus Tristan Wirfs. We'll get it about 10 to 12 plays. Bosa prefers the defensive left, but he'll play on the defensive right side. Go check that out. Let's flip it there. Let's go to when the 49ers are on offense. Vita Vea versus Jake Brendel is their best matchup. Might be the worst matchup ever for Jake Brendel. That is play strength that Vita Vea that he brings is the biggest weakness for Jake Brendel. Yeah, I do not like that. So move the pocket a lot. Help Brendel out as much as you can. Please, please, please. Just tailor protection to where is Vita Vea. That guard is going to help every single time. Chris Forster is pretty good at this. So not that you can take Vea out of the game, but don't leave Brendel one-on-one with Vita Vea ever, 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 unless you're moving the pocket. Best matchup for the 49ers when they're on offense, George Kittle versus their linebacker and safety. KJ Britt, you remember him for Seattle? We used to abuse that guy to the point they got rid of him. Yeah, George Kittle's at the top of his game. Strong safety, Jordan Whitehead, who's banged up, might not even play. Kittle should be able to do whatever he wants to do, especially in this cover three. Whenever they do that, those seams are going to be open. Kittle's going to have 1 to 2 plays where he's running right down the hash marks, wide open. Hopefully we hit him on those. Hopefully Purdy recognizes those. That should be a priority all through the game plan this week. Best blue chip matchup. Like I said, Zion McCollum, number one rated corner from PFF. Number one. I'm going Juwan Jennings, the number one wide receiver for the 49ers for Zion McCollum. That's going to be must watch TV. That's going to be fun to see. Now you can't see that on the broadcast view, sadly, because they don't pan out. You don't get the all 22. Which is frustrating, but that's okay. Now, let's get into our bets of the week and predictions. And if you're going to bet with us, you guys know where you got to go.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100. All the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right, guys, I posted the bets of the week. They're up on the 49ersrush.com. They're up on our Patreon channel, so if you want to go check those out. Now, I do have to say, in 100% vulnerability here, the bets, they don't know what's going on, because with all these limited players, there's not a lot of player props up right now. They're waiting for one more practice. We're recording this Friday. So with the events with Frank Gore tomorrow and the tailgate, it's a pretty busy weekend. I'm going to try to post the second round of bets, but I can't promise anything. But I posted my preliminary stuff. I got a couple of teasers. Again, man, I'm going with the 49ers scoring on the opening possession, still positive money. I'm going with the 49ers covering the over in the first quarter. I'm going Baker Mayfield throwing an interception. You want to check the other bets out. Hopefully we'll have some more later on this week, this weekend up on that website. So check with that. Now, here's my predictions, okay? And I'm going to be very honest. You guys understand how I feel about Nick Sorensen so far this year. The growing part of being a defensive coordinator or a coach is self-scouting and recognizing what your flaws are and what your tendencies are so that you can break tendencies, okay? So here we go. Third downs. The Bucs are the second best team in the NFL on third downs when they're on offense. The 49ers are the 25th. Or bottom 10 team. This scares me big time, mainly because on third downs, Baker Mayfield, that's the only time he throws deep. You look at quarterbacks that throw past the sticks, Baker Mayfield's 31st in the NFL. You look at the number of 20-yard passes, Baker Mayfield's the 31st again in the NFL. He doesn't do it often, but every time he does, it is third down. What does Nick Sorensen do every single third down ever? Not every single one, about 75%. Cover one man with a single high safety. Well, you just opened up all of the outside the numbers on both sides of the field because you don't have help over the top of the single high safety. I really hope and pray, and if I could be in those coaching meetings, which the 49ers are better off without me there because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but I really, really wish we could do some more cover three on third down, quarters on third down, or two high safety looks. Because if the Bucs are going to have their explosive plays, it's going to come to in third down when we're in cover one man with a single high safety. That's my biggest fear this game. So I hope Nick Sorensen adjusts. I hope that he self-scouts and we can get past that a little bit or adjust. Not saying get rid of it completely, but you've been doing it 75% of third downs. Let's adjust that a little bit. Let's back it back down to a 50. That would be huge. Now, the 49ers have a better defense than the Bucs have an offense with their injuries. No doubt about that. Missed assignments, missed tackles, penalties. You got to limit those. We've been harping on those all year. Hopefully the bye week, you worked on fundamentals. You're rested. You're calm, cool, composed. You can go back and reassess, self-scout, like I said. Fix those issues. That's what coordinators do. Make it better. Now, I'll say this too. Probably one of, you know, again, we have constantly put Jair Brown on tight ends, the number one tight end, on third downs as well in his man coverage. I don't want Jair Brown on Cade Otton. I really, really don't. I would much rather have Malik Mustafa. I'd rather have Fred Warner. I'd rather have Nickel Corner. Cade Otton's their best wide receiver, believe it or not. I know he's a tight end, and tight ends usually go against safeties and linebackers. But, man, let's be flexible here. Don't let Cade Otton dominate you like he has these other teams. Don't put Jair Brown in man-to-man coverage on Cade Otton ever, please, for the love of God. And I'm telling y'all, you're going to get a couple hate tweets whenever I see this from where I'm sitting in the stadium. I'm going to lose my mind. Don't do that. This game has Fred Warner written all over it. I think he's going to go off. I have him for 9-plus tackles and an interception. I was going to put him on there for a sack, but I hope we don't blitz him too much. I want him in coverage. And I think that we're going to get a pick from Baker at some point this game. Now, the 49ers offense, Christian McCaffrey and Jennings back, that's everything. That is everything. The triangle returns, and I've talked about this in the past, that triangle of the linebacker, safety, and nickel defender, it just opens up everything because you're going to stop CMC, you're going to stop George Kittle, or you're going to stop the drift route that comes underneath. You're going to stop the mesh route with the shallow crossers. You're going to, like, you have to decide. You cannot stop all three. CMC, Kittle, together, it's just magic. It really, really is. And so I'm super excited, and I really hope Brock Purdy goes back to the Brock Purdy back in the day where it's get the ball out quick, you know, not very long A dot, average depth of target. You're not chunking super deep. Sometimes you can take your shots, but, man, dink dunk. Be that quote-unquote system quarterback. That's what you need this week against this defense. They blitz more than anybody else, and they're always in zone. There's going to be pockets. Find them quick. Get the ball out. That's what you got to do. Now, on third down and long, which they'll be in at some point, that's where, you know, Purdy can do his crazy whatever stuff. But for the majority, stay on pace, stay ahead of the chains, be smart, dink and dunk, get down where you got to go, take care of your business. Let the studs be studs this game. Come on, man. Oh, quick, 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 get the ball out. I think the 49ers jump ahead early. I think they're the better team. I really, really do. The question is, can Nick Sorensen's defense finally show up in the fourth quarter? We are 30th in the NFL, 30th in fourth down scoring or fourth quarter scoring. Can you gain enough lead going into the fourth quarter that Nick Sorensen can't give the game away? That's huge. I think the 49ers win 31 points offensively, and I think that the Bucs come back just like five teams that we've played so far this year in the fourth quarter. They get close. I have the 49ers winning 31-23, but I think a lot of those points, 10 of those points at least, are going to be garbage time fourth quarter points where we kind of get out of our element. And you guys have seen this season. I hope that we get past it, but until Nick Sorensen can prove that he can adjust and stop fourth quarter scoring, Baker's one of the best trash time quarterbacks in the NFL where he will never stop fighting. So we'll see. You guys are incredible. We'll be going live right after the game is over from Raymond James Stadium. So join us right here on this channel, however you watch and or listen. But that's going to do it for us, and we will catch you guys next time. Y'all better come party with us. Come say hi to Gore with us. And until next time, you're the best. Stay strong.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.